Los Angeles, 1937. Dark. The night is dark. The type of dark where you can't tell if the fog helps or hurts. Well, brother, I don't know about you, but I've always been a foggy kind of gent. It's a mask. The only embrace that's ever satisfied. The only lover that I need. Christ, that's loud. Take a walk down Sunset Boulevard and you can find anything. A burger joint that only sells steak. A dog being raised by cats. And little Tommy Two Hands, a 10-year-old toddler with the face of an angel and the brass knuckles to prove it. And what do you know? It looks like some chump just met all three.
Teach you to talk trash, tough guy!
Oh, what did your mother teach you to hit like that?
Hey, Terrietta Two Hands could go toe-to-toe with any twat who tiptoed round her turf.
That was supposed to be more of a metaphorical insult, but sure, take it literally.
I'm trying to take Tommy to task, titwit!
Okay, question. Are you aware of the alliteration, or...
What's tag supposed to mean?
Oh, touche.
Tommy Two Hands.
You're trying to tango too, tough guy?
I thought I was the tough guy.
All good, Tommy. Just me.
Twist my tit, rectalia! I need see ya! On account of the fog.
Oh, so you turn off the alliteration for him?
Tighten that trap, tough guy!
So I'm the tough guy again. You need to start sticking with your choices here.
Rhett, this guy's got a mouth on him. I'm not too thrilled by it, Rhett. Not one bit.
Trust me, the feeling's mutual.
It's all good, Tommy. No need to turn yourself turquoise over a tightly taut twerp like Tiss.
Jesus, not you too.
Oh, don't you worry about me, Rhett. He's a kraut. A turd right loving turd. And like my ma says, no problem turning up to 10 for a talky turd.
This is racist. Or not racist, but...
I think the word you're looking for is...
No, don't help me. I know it.
Tip of the tongue.
Yeah, totally. Tip of the tongue. Xenophobic. Aha! Kraut is xenophobic.
Uh-huh. So, Tommy, what'd this one do?
Tried to give him directions to the St. Francis Estate. And that's when, out of nowhere, he...
Oh, come on. That's not even the whole...
He said...
What, Tommy? What'd he say?
He told me to...
Oh, my God. I told him to make with the directions or he could go wet the bed somewhere else.
You what?
You twin of a dwarf! I ain't wet the bed in 3 weeks, Rhett. No, I don't do that stuff no more.
Hey, look, that's not the full story. I only said that to him because he asked me for money. For vague directions. You can't expect me to pay for vague directions.
Vague, my tookies. I told you exactly what you wanted to know.
Oh, did you? You said it was that way. And you didn't even gesture. How is that tip-worthy?
Oh, I'm gonna...
Look, friend, why don't we just apologize and get on with our night?
Excuse me, how was I supposed to know bedwetting was a thing for him?
We all got things, twerp. Oh, Red, I'm getting mad. And when I get mad, you know I gotta...
Easy, T.
What's he gonna do, pee himself?
Oh, I'm gonna pee on him!
What the fuck?
Tommy, breathe. Remember your common quotes, buddy? From the wedding center?
I am not my pee. The pee is not me. I am not my pee. The pee is not me.
You gotta say it too.
Abso-fucking-lutely not.
Look, man, either you say this shit or we have a problem.
He was trying to rob me.
Literally, what does it cost you?
The pee is not me.
I hate my life.
The pee is not me.
I am not my pee.
My pee is not me.
I am not my pee. Oh, we're stopping.
You okay, T?
Yeah, I think... Yeah. Sometimes it just gets so, time turns red, you know?
Time turns red?
I feel much better now. Thanks.
Hey, I'm proud of you, kid.
We're just gonna ignore the fact that he just said time turns...
Now, he said he was looking for the St. Francis Estate?
Yes, that's where I've been...
Tommy?
Yeah.
I mean, I could tell you too.
Why don't I take him? I'm heading there myself, actually. Wouldn't mind the company.
Watch out for this one, Rhett. He's a ton of twit tied twice with twine.
What?
You got it. Now get out of here, you scamp, and tell your mother I said... hi.
Sure thing, Rhett. Toodles!
Shit! He's gone.
You German?
What about my everything gave that away?
The galoshes.
Okay.
Now what brings you stateside, friend?
Decided to find my fortune, you know, in the land of the free.
I find that hard to believe.
Well, fucking bully for you.
I'm Rhett D'Elia, Administrative Services.
Augie Eckhart. I don't know what that means.
Augie Eckhart, huh? Now it all makes sense.
Ditto. Look, I'm just trying to get to the St. Francis estate. We don't even need to talk, or...
A lot going on in Germany right now. Surprised you made it out.
Well, I came here from Paris, but...
How long were you in Paris?
2 years? What's with all the questions? No offense, but the last time I carved out time for a chum, he left me with no warning and a multi-year lease.
Huh. A German. Stateside. I heard just last year your little buddy, Adolf Shouts and Screams, barred all the Jews from the Olympic Games.
I don't know if you can tell, but I'm not really a sports guy.
With everything going on over there, I just need to make sure your intentions are known.
Intentions? What, am I dating this country?
I'll be frank. We don't have time for Nazis over here, so if you're cozying up to this country with any fascist leanings, then allow me to push you all the way over.
Is that a gun?
Well, I'm certainly not happy to see ya.
Gotcha! Figures. You know, ever since I got to America, I've only heard two things. Thank God you made it out, or hide the Jews. Is there no such thing as a middle ground to you people?
Well, this is Los Angeles in 1937. We got a lot of Jews here we like to protect.
Good for you, because... that's actually why I'm here.
So, you're saying you're Jewish?
Yes. That's why I came here. For safety. And to finally taste that sweet, sweet freedom.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah?
You want to know what freedom tastes like?
I feel like I'm about to find out.
Freedom is a hot shower and a cold beer after a long day in the yard. It's the view of the ocean from your air-conditioned apartment on the 4th of July. It's the pure pleasure of the sweet and bitter smell of Folgers in your cup. The best part of waking up.
Sure, all that checks out. That's why I came here. No other reason. Now, the St. Francis Estate...
follow me.
The Vanishing Act by Ian Gears and Lauren Grace Thompson. Part 5. The Flashback.
What did I tell you? Walk down Sunset Boulevard at night and you can find anything. And I'm not just talking about the burger joints or Tommy Two Hands or even that dog that was raised by cats. I'm talking about the things you thought you'd never see again. The memories you hide in the fog. The reminders of the life you thought you'd left behind.
Do you hear that saxophone? Am I having a stroke?
God damn it.
Holy shit, is this the place?
It would appear so. You coming?
Yeah, I just... okay, hold on. Before we go in, you know the St. Francis's, right?
Peripherally. Did some work with the Administrative Services Department.
Still no idea what that is.
For an event for the wife's Cultural Council Committee. As for the husband...
yes, C. Marshall St. Francis.
You know.
No, I don't. That's why I... okay, I'm a big fan of his books, specifically The Temptress of Buttress Creek, or Soli, I guess, doesn't matter. Do you know if there's a, like, type of cigar he likes, or a whiskey?
You looking to run to the store before we go in?
Is there one nearby?
Walk down Sunset Boulevard at night, and you can find anything.
No.
Of course. I'm going in.
Holly. do wipe that glass sweat away, this is Los Angeles, not some overpopulated, undereducated Alabama bus depot. Eckhart, you made it. How are we this evening? I trust you had no trouble finding the place.
Just a prepubescent vagrant, nothing I can't handle.
Oh, drat. They're back, are they? I'll get the maid on that right away. Whoopah! Teens are roaming again. Get the shovel. I do love the shovel.
Efficient.
Exactly.
Vicky?
Mr. D'Elia?
Okay, then.
Keeping yourself well, I see.
Doing my pull-ups, if that's what you mean.
You know exactly what I mean.
Oh, we're still doing this?
Mr. D'Elia, help yourself to the bar. I'm sure you need no help finding it.
I never do.
Should I go?
Excellent. Eckhart, if you wouldn't mind, there's a regular bevy of important people on the other side of the room.
Well, I am nothing if not important.
Now, Eckhart, right this way.
Augie Eckhart stepped through yet another gallery of beautiful faces, and towards a knight he had no preconceptions of, yet was all too excited to greet. Hello, and welcome back to the real story. A little lost, are we? Weren't we just in Paris 2 years ago, you question? A third major location in time shift, you shout in disbelief. How did Augie Eckhart end up in America? In Los Angeles, of all places, and in 1937? Dear narrator, you cry, were we really supposed to remember the names of one-off joke characters from the first episode, like C. Marshall St. Francis, Augie's favorite author, writer of comic book political erotica? To which I say, yes. And any confusion is purely of your own making. But to avoid losing any little ducklings along the way, allow me to show you what occurred just 12 hours ago at the Los Angeles Union Station.
Flashback Express, arriving at Platform E for exposition, arriving at Platform E for exposition, thank you.
Hey, do you know where the Chateau Marmont is?
Who the fuck's asking?
Chateau Marmont, you know where I should...
Sweetie, look away. He's German.
Mama, why do they hate us?
I don't hate you. Hey, sir, I'm looking for...
A Kraut! Hide the Jews!
Ugh, I did not stow away an economy for this.
Excuse me, sir, did I hear that man right? Are you...
No, I'm not looking for Jews. I love Jews. Always have. Hooray, Jews.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it. I do, too. Some of my best friends are Jews.
Yes, well, good. And hello, pretty lady. My name is...
Augie Eckhart. Did I pronounce that right?
Our American psychic? Is that a thing?
What? Oh, no, silly. It's on your attaché, in case it falls into the wrong hands, I presume.
Huh. Yes, I only want certain hands on my attaché.
Quite right. You're looking for the Chateau Marmont. I couldn't help but overhear that marvelous and very prominent accent.
Yes, my German accent, which I've definitely had this whole time, gets a lot of bad names, but I'm always glad to meet someone with a deep appreciation for it.
Well, why don't I give you a lift in my brand new 1937 Cadillac V16? I'd love to hear more about your journey.
Oh, bless you, kind, pretty lady. Bless you.
And for the next 17 minutes, Augie talked non-stop, regaling Vicky St. Francis with too much information about subjects she could only have cared too little about, backed by the cacophony of the engine and other assorted car noises that were so loud, Vicky could only extend the kind gesture of smiling and nodding with non-grunts in lieu of actually hearing anything Augie was saying.
Ha!
No stone was left unturned for Augie, however. Lamarck, Picard's disappointing revelation that the Vanishing Box had been more historically manufactured hyperbole than real magic, Conrad Webley Grifson and the reason for his arrival in America, which I promise we'll flash back to soon, and... Oh, foo it. Why not just explain right now by flashing back within this flashback to a simpler time to explain what exactly Augie Eckhart did in Paris for the past 2 odd years?
They come first thing in the morning, they come last thing at night. Will no one ever come after my goddamn lunch? Hello, good sir, I think, and welcome to the Bobble Confectionery at the Theatre des Tuileries. What may I interest you in? Holy... Wait a minute! I know you. Who are you? What are you doing here? And where have I seen you before?
Picard, it's me. I was with the American rap bat... the... Grifson, and I just...
Yes, I know you. You are the sad man. But no, you couldn't be the sad man unless...
Hey, Picard, how you doing?
Oh, wow. Jeez, the sad man is very sad. Oh, come on in, kid. Yeah, feel free to use the monogrammed oven mitts as a towel.
Thank you.
And over the next few hours, Augie aired his grievances from the lodge.
No money, no girl, no job prospects.
The petty.
And I'll be honest, I never even understood the point of a small plate restaurant anyway.
Until he finally got to the source of his distress.
Just poof, you know? Griffin just leaves in the middle of the night, or... I don't know, I was pretending to sleep at weird hours back then, but still, without even telling me. I'm sorry.
Yes. What of it?
I mean, I'm telling you a pretty huge life event that's unfolding in real time, one that may land me in a debtor's prison, if they even have those anymore, and the best you've got is
I gave you I didn't have to give you but I gave you You're lucky I didn't go silent!
That was an option?
You're damn right it was. It's always an option. If I wanted to, I could listen to your heartbreak love affair to the tune of Billie Holiday's record contract terms and conditions and still not shed one sad syllable. You're lucky with
Don't I know it.
I gave you a because I could see how much you and Griffson meant to each other, capiche?
I'm fucking sorry. What?
Reassuring looks, advice taken, playful banter, positive male friendships. I love them.
Right. Well, the real reason I'm here.
Yes, the real reason. To confide, to unload, to be told you're right, to get advice. I know.
What? No, those are all wildly inappropriate assumptions.
Fine. Then you seek company. Just the comfort of two miserable bastards who have the world take large number deux on them. Sitting under an umbrella, braving the next deux storm, huh?
God, that image.
Or perhaps I am wrong.
You are.
Perhaps it is something much cruder you need from me.
I don't want to go cruder than the last thing.
Money! You want the cold, hard cash to make you an impenetrable millionaire. Immune to ever being hurt again, while never actually confronting the hurt that got you to be the hurt millionaire in the first place. Trey predictable.
I mean, honestly, I think I could live with that if it meant I could pay the rent. Wait, is this you offering me a job?
Is this your way of asking me for one?
Not before, but now kind of?
Well, if you want my advice about the Lamarck whatnot, then you need to come here because I don't leave the Bobble Confectionery anymore, which takes care of the company part as well. And if you're here, you may as well deal with the people who come in and out and in and out. It can be a real chore.
And you'll pay me for it?
Yes. Oh, my God, I know you're in the theater, but you do know how a real job works, right?
Of course not. How can I when I've only ever been paid in fun?
Well then, here, take this broom. Just kind of stand around and hold a broom. And when customers come in, you're working.
You're telling me you're going to pay me to not actually work?
Just look like you're working. See? Advice.
Everything about the expats makes so much more sense now.
You know, it's funny. When you first came in, I thought you were looking for your notes.
My what is this now?
Your notes. The Lamarck notes you came screaming about when you were here in the last section. Griffson came by and sold them to me a couple days ago for boat ticket fare. I thought you were coming to buy them back.
He...
What?
Oh, Sad Man is Mad Man now, big tough guy.
That son of a fuck, dumb, stupid ass shit writer did what?
And he calls me crude. Not in my shop!
Oh, come on, even you have to admit that he's a...
Whatever I admit, he's a friend. And I won't have you spilling emotional milk like that in my shop, because you know who's going to have to clean it up? You.
Well, Jesus. Can I get, like, one win here?
Well, because you asked so nice, yes. Here, take these fakakta notes back free of charge. I don't want them.
You don't want them. These are priceless antiques. The last true remaining link between us and Jean-Jacqueline Lamarck. These are more precious than most of my family.
Really? You do realize the contextual holes in your backstory these comments fill in, right?
I'm just saying they mean a lot to me.
And I'm saying that's really pretty sad since they're fake.
Since they... Sorry, what?
Yep. Fake as the 8-hour sleep. Look at the pages.
Yes, the aged parchment.
Aged in Earl Grey, maybe. You could smell the pretension.
But the French.
Do you even read French? Good God, you're in the country. Make the effort.
These are Lamarck's own words.
Sure. If Lamarck's vanishing box notes consisted of lessons 1 through 4 and the practice tests from the Bienvenu French workbook. Looks like if you ever did have the real notes, you sure didn't when Griffson took them. Sad man. You've been had, man.
But the dog-eared page?
Really? It's just a dog-eared page. I can do that right now, see?
No, wait, don't break the parchment. Oh, God damn it, they're not real. How was this a win?
Well, I'm not making you pay for them back.
That's such a low bar.
It's better than nothing. Now, come on, don't think I didn't notice you put down the broom. Up, up, up. Let's get to that company I was talking about. It's not too early for a light spritzer.
No money. No Griffson. No notes. Ugh, well, at least somewhere out there, Lilith, doing your adorable experiments or whatever it is you do, at least I know you're still thinking of me, Lilith von Hitzler.
Hitler? Did you say Adolf Hitler?
But here. This is where the misunderstandings really begin.
Yes, that's part of the reason why I came here, but it's a whole different flashback.
I just can't believe you got out of there alive. From what I understand, Europe is becoming worse than Mongolia under the wrath of Mr. Khan. Where's your family?
My family? Oh, they died.
You poor little parakeet. And your friends?
At this point, I wouldn't really call myself a relationship guy.
Oh, you dear little chicken.
I'll take it.
Here, take my address.
Really? Nope, you know what? Not gonna question it.
We're having a bit of a soiree at our beach house tonight. Many industry folks and glasses wearers, if you take my meaning.
He didn't.
I do.
And trust me, not a single fascist sympathizer is allowed in my home, so you and your tribe are always welcome. Nothing but shalom, shalom, shalom from here on out.
Okay. Vicky St. Francis, 17334 Sunset Boulevard. That's so funny. My favorite writer's last name is St. Francis.
You must mean C. Marshall. My God, you get the Times all the way out in Berlin.
Wait, the Times? C. Marshall St. Francis? You know him?
Know him? Oh, you sweet little German duck. C. Marshall is my husband.
Oh, you're married? Actually, you know what? That doesn't matter. Congratulations. Oh, my God, I'd love to come. I know this may seem odd, but this feels like destiny.
Your destiny? Oh, you adorable little goose. That's not real. But this party is. Drop in any time after 8 and feel free to dress as religiously as you'd like. You're free now.
Okay.
Welcome to America, Eckhart.
8 o'clock, Sunset Boulevard, C. Marshall, St. Francis. Everything is coming up, Augie.
And that is exactly what Augie Eckhart repeated to himself with less and less veracity later that very evening as he made the entire 5-hour and 52-minute walk from the Chateau Marmont to the St. Francis Estate until, after one failed attempt at hitchhiking...
Anybody want to pick up a safe stranger?
Put that thumb away! I'm driving here!
And 5 drive-by insults.
Out of the road, Pally!
Move it, you bum!
God, he's hideous!
Off the road, Bozo!
Hey, Bozo, get off the road!
The guy before you said that already.
Oh, get over it. These cars are loud.
Then how can you hear me, right? Okay, he's gone.
He finally got some directions from a smaller-than-average, alliteratively titillating 10-year-old you met in our cold open.
Boom.
And I'd say that pretty much brings us to now.
Ah, here you are. Augie, I wanted you to meet some very impressive and valuable people.
Actually, Mrs. St. Francis, I was wondering if Mr. St. Francis was...
Mr. Gold, Bloom, and Hecht. May I introduce Augie Eckhart from Germany.
Ah.
Quite.
Okay.
And a Jew.
That right.
As I live and breathe.
From Germany, you say?
As Augie took in the fiery eyes and cocked speech being slingshot in his face, he couldn't help but feel the slightest bit insecure. That eventually these men would stumble upon the fact that he had never really been in danger of any kind in Berlin. In fact, the only bit of true adversity that had seeped to the marrow of his bones was that it had now been precisely 4 years, 4 months, and 3 weeks since he'd last been intimate with someone other than himself.
So how was it over there? Scale of 1 to 10.
Poor boy stunned.
Higher than a 10?
Look at him, he's terrified.
Classic 10!
Do you need a hug? I'm gonna hug ya.
We all are!
The term substitution was born out of Konstantin Stanislavski's acting method of the early 1900s. This is a method whereby the actor mentally and emotionally substitutes a circumstance, physical prop, or human scene partner with something else from their lives that has true emotional weight. For Augie, the isolation and emptiness from his lack of intimate contact would prove to be exactly the substitution he needed in order to relate to these three men.
It was horrible. There are days when I think I'm in the clear, and then the voices in my head start screaming at me. You're as good as dead. You have nothing left to live for. It takes everything just to get out of bed some mornings. When the only place you feel love is from your own two hands. Not at the same time or anything, but sometimes, you know, who am I to judge? I'm sure you follow.
Of course.
I can even.
Why stop at two?
Some days I fail to see the point in any of it.
Oh, no, Eckhart. No, I simply forbid you from feeling that way. For look, you're here, you're safe, you're welcome. You know, Mr. Gold is an excellent financier.
Hear, hear.
Mr. Bloom is in child law.
Harumph!
And Mr. Hecht is Los Angeles' leading obstetrician.
Ho-ho!
Oh, no, I'm not pregnant.
I mean, if you need a reference for a job, we could help you get set up in town. That's part of what I do as the head of the Humane Cultural Council Committee.
Oh, that makes more sense. Thank you, Mrs. St. Francis.
Vicky, please.
Vicky, thank you. That being said, I'm actually not involved in any of those fields, money, kids, or pregnancy.
Oh?
No, I'm in the theater.
The theater? They still have those.
Well, no, I've heard everything.
What does he mean, Bloom? What does he mean?
Fascinating. You know, when I was a girl, I harbored dreams of being in the theater. A Shakespearean queen riding an elephant on stage to a sold-out crowd.
An elephant. What a sight.
Well, now I've heard everything.
What play would that even be?
I'd pay top dollar.
You're an actor, I presume?
No. Actually, I'm a set designer.
Set designer?
God damn it, Gould, what does he mean?
It means I design the sets the plays take place on.
A set designer who designs sets.
God damn it! Now I've heard everything!
Vicky, your parties really are a hoot and a holler. A hoot and a holler, I say.
Yeah, I guess you could say I'm one of a kind.
As the trio began to laugh uproariously,
ha ha ha!
Augie realized this was the first step toward the new life he didn't know he'd always wanted. A new purpose, a new tide, a world without Berlin, the theater, that Pulitzer Prize-winning British stallion Rudyard T. Codswallop, and especially without con artist swindlers like Conrad Webley Griffson.
Right you are, Eckhart, right you are. Now, I'm dreadfully sorry. You'll find the theater has rather gone the way of the extinct animal, so to speak, here in Los Angeles. However, if you're willing to turn your career slightly to the left, you'll see the blinding light of motion pictures is what's really grabbed hold of the city's pearls.
The talkies!
The dodo is an extinct animal.
In fact, I believe there's a man here from RKO, a screenwriter.
Well, I actually think there's a lot of crossover between my...
And I said, no, you calm down, old sport.
No.
There he is by the bar, sampling all 12 of the olives. Yoo-hoo, CW!
This isn't happening.
Erica, I'd like you to meet RKO screenwriter, CW...
Griffson!
shit.
The Vanishing Act is written and directed by Ian Gears and Lauren Grace Thompson. The episode was sound designed by me, Daniel Etty Williams, with original music composed and recorded by Valdemar. This episode featured Sarah Price as Augie Eckhart, Tina Munoz-Pandya as Rhett D'Elia, Hecht and Traveler 1, Jess Ridenour as Vicky St. Francis and Traveler 3, Eric Eilerson as Tommy Two Hands, Bloom and Motorist 1, David Blixt as Narrator 2, Rob Kozlarik as Picard Jr., Traveler 4 and Motorist 5, Daniel Etty Williams as Gold and Motorist 6, Ian Gears as Hubert, the Train Conductor, Traveler 2, and Motorist 4, Sam Hubbard as Motorist 2, Daniel Milhouse as Conrad Webley Griffson, and Lauren Grace Thompson as the Narrator and Motorist 3. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr at VanishingPod or on our website, VanishingPod.com. And join us next time for Part 6, The Tuxedo.
Hi everyone, Lauren here.
And Ian.
And we're the creators of The Vanishing Act.
We wanted to take a quick second to thank some of our Indiegogo donors for their support of the show.
All donations go toward compensating our artists for their time and dedication to the project.
So without further ado, thank you to...
Steph D.
Victor L.
Susan G.
Dale T.
Hans G.
Jared D.
Lena B.
Lydia H.
Alan B.
Cole G.
Jeremy T.
Lance M.
April H.
Kelly S.
Holly H.
Brian T.
Scott T.
And Antigone B.
And again, from all of us here at Team Vanishing Act,
thank you.
I can hear the bottles on the breeze now, every day. I hung them all up on the big tree outside my kitchen window, and they sparkle and shimmer in the sun. I walk through them sometimes, tapping the glass and hearing them chime against each other. I wonder if these messages could still get to their intended destination, or if that time and place happened long ago and far away. I think some of them were just tossed out into the water, not really intending to end up anywhere specific. I meant for this island to be my own paradise. I truly did. It had everything I thought I needed, which was essentially just solitude. Now that I've been here, and now that I've read this letter, I can't help but see everything I've left behind. Glass Letters is a new audio drama podcast about loneliness, letters, and found families. Available now wherever you listen to podcasts.